Hello and welcome to the Fingal Business Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Local Enterprise Office Fingal, one of 31 local enterprise offices around the country. Local Enterprise Office Fingal helps local business through a wide range of practical initiatives and programs. The LEO is your first-stop shop for business supports. So whether you're just starting out or an established business, Local Enterprise Office Fingal is here to help. The aim of the Fingal Business Podcast is to share quality information for small business owner managers to enable you to be more effective in running a successful enterprise. My name is Sharon Rossignuolo, and I'll be chatting to industry experts so that you can get the best advice to help you to succeed in your business. In today's episode, we're talking all things business with Catherine Fulvio. Catherine will share her approach to bringing business online, the power of social media for small business, and if you're feeling overwhelmed or in panic mode, we'll be talking about how to overcome the overwhelm and get back on track to making things happen in your business. Catherine Fulvio, you are so very welcome to Virtual Fingal and the Fingal Business Podcast. We met last March in Ballynockan. You were welcoming guests from all over the world. There were live cookery classes, real people, live events, and we even had the privilege of having you at International Women's Day in Fingal as well. And then the world stopped. So talk us through those first couple of months. What was it like for you?
Oh my goodness, it was a total shock to the system, to be quite honest, Sharon. I happened to be in New York in the lead up St. Patrick's Day doing a promotion for an Irish food company on media there, and I was sitting in a restaurant in Times Square and I heard one of the waiters or servers saying, you know, they're closing down Times Square tonight. And I went, right, that's it. I'm getting the suitcase and I'm going to the airport. And home I got. But I really didn't, I knew it was a big problem, but I really didn't foresee it being such a big problem. I'll be honest, I went into crisis mode at the beginning. I was in shock. First few days, I was, this is great. I actually don't have anything to do and I've never had it that I've nothing to do. So I'm enjoying these couple of days. And then I literally went into meltdown and I cried at anything. I remember watching The Chase on television and some team won something like €5,000 and I burst out crying. I was so happy for them. My emotions were all over the place. And I don't think I was the only person like that, but I tried to hide them from everybody and tried to pretend I was strong. So I do look back on that and think that was a bit silly. But yeah, once the dust settled, I had to shake myself down. I'm in the hospitality business as well as brand Catherine Fulvio, so to speak. Yeah. So we, in our office then, we were dealing with, of course, a lot of rebookings. Everybody was so nice and people have gift vouchers and always saying, don't worry, we'll use it another time, move us forward. So in our naivety, we moved people forwards a couple of months. And so, of course, then we had to go at that again. So it was a kind of a slow unfolding of a disaster in front of our eyes, really, for us. But once it settled and once we grew accustomed to what was really going on, we then took the bull by the horns and thought, right, we're going to have to do something. And of course, all over the media at the time, Sharon, you remember there was the words pivot, pivot.
Yes.
And at one stage, I remember turning to my colleagues going, with my hand on my head, go, pivot. Oh my God, what am I going to do? How do I pivot? You know, I went into panic about this pivot. So I actually refused to use that word. So I will call it branching out. You remember when we spoke last year, right. I put the picture of the tree up and I said, nobody is a tree on their own. You work better as a forest. But it's all the branches on the tree that make your business.
True.
And so maybe my business has just been the main trunk with a few branches at the top. But there's opportunity for more branches to grow. So that's why I said I was branching out.
Brilliant.
So then, yeah, so that's what we did. So I got some calls from clients of ours that we work with in the corporate sector asking about doing live cook-alongs. And I was, oh gosh, I was so interested. I thought, that's a nice move now. And that's when I grew acquainted with Zoom and Microsoft Teams and the likes. So I started doing that and then that took off and that gave me the idea then to open an online cookery school.
How did people's behaviours change? Because you're so right, it was complete panic mode. And then this kind of whole behaviour started evolving, people were behaving differently. How did you see that and how did it shape the direction of the business?
I found people to be incredibly nice and gentle and kind with us and very understanding, and I found them very relaxed and chilled about this will happen another time, very positive in general. And I was very appreciative of that.
Yes.
Very appreciative of the kindness and how they spoke to my colleagues and addressed everything. It really really made our lives so much easier. And, you know, I really can't wait to be able to fully reopen and welcome everybody with open arms. And I literally mean open arms. I'll be at the road practically waiting on them to come in the door because it means so much to us. I'm a people person and I very much enjoy that connection, the direct connection with people. Now, the live cook-alongs helps, but it brings great colour to your life. And I do miss that too.
Yeah, of course. And it's just the energy that people bring, isn't it? And I think there was a while there when it was very compassionate and that's what people need. I think what we've all learned now is people need that connection and you kind of take it where you can get it, whether it's live or whether it's virtual. So I suppose my next question is, because so many businesses are in that situation where they can't do live, they have to do virtual. How different is it doing a live online cookery class compared to a real life one?
It's very different, of course, but I'm not going to say it's better, but I'd be on the fence about it, both for the guest and for me, or for the participant, I mean, and for me, because I'm in my kitchen and it's a cook-along. So everybody else is in their own kitchens. They know where everything is. They know if they need a spatula, I'll just grab that. So that whole disorientation of being in a new place is gone. And there's the comfort of being in your own home, so you can relax into it and enjoy it. Yeah. And all you have to do is just unmute to ask questions and we can have full conversations. And not only that, the joy of the virtual cook-alongs also is, whether it's a corporate or my regular ones that I'm running at weekends instead of Ballynock and Cookery School classes, but the joy of it is it's in people's homes, it's in your own kitchen. So it's not just an individual more often than not. Usually the husband or the wife is there, or the partner's there, or maybe the kids are there, or maybe mammy's in the background helping, putting things in the dishwasher, you know. So it's usually kind of a team effort. And that's really lovely, because for everybody, it's entertainment for the full household for those few hours that we're doing it. And I've met newborn babies. Aww. I've met the family pets have been shown to the cameras, everything. It's wonderful. And I get a chance to be inside of people's homes as much as people get a chance to be inside mine. Yes. So I think it's absolutely brilliant. I love it. Really, really enjoy it. And I the feedback from everybody is they really enjoy it too. And we're getting lots of rebookings from corporates. So it's not just a one-off. So clearly they love it. And word has spread and I've been doing a lot of international ones, which is amazing for big international conferences. I mean, that's just an honour.
That's huge. And I think it's the challenge for your corporates, et cetera, is to keep their employees engaged, do something that's different, that's new, but keeps that energy up. It's about positive energy. And I suppose as business people as well, particularly when you're dealing with clients, that's one of the things you have to do. You're bringing that positive energy, but energy breeds energy. And if, you know, we're in this together and if it's positive and if it's good and people are coming out of the other end feeling good, I think that's the best that we can do for now, really, isn't it?
I think it is. I think it's all about, it's a great way of staying in connection or in contact with each other and having the chats and doing something fun and learning a new skill. And the benefit of all of this is you actually have dinner for that night.
Exactly.
So you do. And maybe enough for a couple of nights if there's just the two of you in the house, you know, some for the freezer as well. So there's a benefit to it. You know, you're feeding yourself good, healthy, nutritious food. And that's very good. And on that note, actually, I did actually, since I was speaking to you last, I've gone back to school.
No way, really?
Yes, I'm studying nutrition. Woohoo!
Brilliant.
I'm very excited about it. It's incredibly interesting and it's going to bring something new to the table. And I find already, even though I'm not qualified yet, I find myself dropping little notes about that. And at the moment, I'm teaching a lot of transition year students in their schools. And it's great to be able to talk about a healthy diet and nutrition for them too. So it's a lovely angle to have and it's something I'm very passionate about. So it's great to be able to bring that to the table as well as the food.
Yes. And look, realistically speaking, would you have been able to do that if you were still welcoming guests, etc.? So I suppose, as my mother says, every cloud has a silver lining and there's always that little bit of, you know, what else can I do or what can I add on? And you'll always have that to be able to upskill and get that knowledge and that information. And it ties in so well. So, oh, that's brilliant. I'm delighted to hear that.
Even Sharon, if I only use the nutrition just for my own family, you know, if I never used it in my career, it's a wonderful amount of knowledge to have. And I think it's very important. And I think it's the future.
Yes.
We're all going to be looking at not how many calories are in something, not shall I be vegan today and non-vegan tomorrow and jumping, not be guided by trends so much.
Yes.
But that I think we'll be looking more in the future about what is the nutrient value of what I'm enjoying here and how best can I maximize the nutrient value to make myself healthier so I can live healthier for longer.
Exactly, exactly. And how can I look after myself, which at the moment is really what we need to be doing. So I think that's brilliant. And it's lovely to be able to add that extra layer that when you are enjoying your cookery, that you know what you're putting into your body as well. How would you rate social media in terms of you being able to branch out and you being able to do this online work?
I think social media has become increasingly important for us all. And it's something that I haven't fully embraced. I've always done a bit of Twitter and Facebook. Instagram, I really didn't do much on, just the odd thing. I had to embrace it. And I had to get my then transition year student to stand behind the camera and press start. When I was doing my IGTVs, and I only started doing IGTV during the first lockdown.
Yes.
I'd never done one before. I had to Google how to do it and then go and do it. So it's kind of, I've been self-taught a lot, but the value of social media has been incredibly useful for me for business. I find the media are reading a lot about what's happening on social media, and then from that come stories in the news and things like that. So it's important to be seen on social media for that angle. And also it's important to reach out to your customers, your would-be customers, your followers, if they call it your tribe. Again, it's a word I'm not mad about. But it's a great way of making connections with people. But it's also a great way of learning for all of us. You know, I mean, I go on tangents about things. I would be looking up on social media things about nutrition. So I go on different tangents myself. So I use it too to learn and see what's happening and have some inspiration too. So I find it absolutely amazing. And I suppose if I was to pick kind of key media, Twitter's very good for news and to be seen. And, you know, Twitter, you can, it's very quick. So it's great. You can post as much as you want. I think Instagram is probably going to be the strongest moving forward. It has been suggested to me that I embrace TikTok. My two teenagers are fighting very strongly against that. I think the whole idea of their mother on TikTok might be a step too far for them.
I can imagine.
I promised them I won't break into any dodgy dancing, that I was really just going to do it about the vegetables in the garden and quick and easy meals, but over their heads. But it is something that I'm looking at the moment. But I am very much Facebook, Instagram and Twitter would be my three key ones.
And sometimes it's just about people don't know what you don't tell them. So letting people know that you're available for corporate cook-alongs, it just sparks an idea. And as somebody who organises events and is sometimes under pressure to find the right person or the right type of event, these are gold. And you need to be able to find people. So you've been on TV, you are a household name in terms of cookery, in terms of being across so many different channels. But at the same time, all these rules apply to all of us. We need to get ourselves out there in the channels that people are hanging out on. And we can't, you know, it's not 1986. Not everybody is sitting there all together with the family at 8 o'clock at night watching TV. We have to put ourselves where people are hanging out.
Yeah, and unfortunately, it's almost unpaid labor, if you understand.
True, yes.
You know, normally if you take on a job, you kind of go, right, well, that's it. And that's the job. And I know this is the fee and that. But social media is something you have to do for yourself. And so sometimes there's a bit of kind of holding back on it, going, well, it's not a job really. So, you know, you don't maybe put as much effort into it. But I think you have to see it as like your own television channel nearly at this point.
Yes.
All media, just put them all in the one, because you can cross populate the same information. But I think you have to look at it as your own, rather than spending money on advertising. This is the money. Your time is the money that you would spend on advertising. And that's what you've got to get over in order to really embrace social media and give yourself time to do it and do it right. And
yes,
have a strategy. That's important.
Yes, know what you're doing, not randomly popping up there talking about the weather or whatever. Know what you're doing and what the end result is going to be and what people are going to get from it and what that says about you and your brand and all of that. Social media is a version of PR. You can just as easily have people from newspapers or TV stations who are doing research or whatever, and they will look you up and they will find you out and they'll see what you can do. Can you speak well? Can you present well? Are you an expert on your topic? It's so, so, so true. And Catherine, I know in general from speaking to you before, I think your original qualification was around marketing and PR. So it's something that you're very skilled at. But realistically speaking, to the local businesses who will be listening in, how accessible is PR to local business?
I think PR is very accessible to local business, but just like you said, PR and social media are very much linked together. So I would see social media as PR, and any PR agent would say the same. The media is but if you mean local press, as in local newspapers and radio stations, I think if you've got a really good angle and a nice story, there's a huge support out there to support local. And I know for me, my own writing in the RT Guide, where I did the hashtag Love Local campaign all of last year, we want to support Irish businesses. And yes, the more local, the better. We want to see local businesses do well, because we all want our kids maybe to be able to stay locally and work locally. So it's important that we raise each other up and lift, yes, you know, work together to do that. And I think, therefore, you'll see that lots of local media will be more than willing to help.
Yes, exactly. And you're so right. Here in Fingal, we had the Shop Fingal promotion. On a national level, we had Look for Local. Like, before you click that button, before you're going off on international sites, check first and check locally. And, you know, I've seen it on so many of the programmes that you have done. The quality of what we have available here in Ireland is second to none. It's just amazing. And to know that it hasn't crossed thousands of miles to get to your table or get to your home is just brilliant as well. So it's a feel-good factor from a climate and an environmental point of view, but also that you're supporting each other. As you said, it's not just about our generation, it's about our kids as well, and giving them jobs too. It's a really good point. And I suppose, Catherine, talking about the inner stuff for a second, resilience and confidence, they're words we're hearing a lot about these days, but it's easier said than done. What is your advice to people who are in panic mode? They're afraid to take the next step towards branching out or doing something different.
For me, I had to approach it in a very practical manner, because I was that person that I was on the panic mode. I was the one crying, yeah, watching The Chase. Remember that?
Yes.
And so I had to stand back and go, OK, Catherine, when your kids were tiny, you set up a cookery school and you brought it to where it is. You can do this. So I had to give myself that pep talk first.
Yeah.
So my first tip is, give yourself that pep talk. You know you can do it. You can do anything, but you know you can do this. But the next thing I had to do was step back and go, plan. You,
yes,
can't willy-nilly fire off in all directions. Be very clear about what you want to achieve, where you want to go. And don't, you remember I was giving the example of the tree?
Yes.
We're not, if we're starting something new, we're not building a whole tree in one go. The tree takes time to develop the branches. So pick a couple of branches or even just one and focus on that. Or, yes, even just get the tree going up out of the ground.
Yeah.
So plan, but be very clear in your plans and keep it neat and tidy as to where you want to go. And then the next thing after the plan that I had to do was break it down into an action points so that I could approach it step by step, so that it's not overwhelming. Because when you're stressed and worried about your future, it's very easy to be overwhelmed. But if you take it step by step and every day get one job done on that list, before you know it, every job has added up to success. And the next thing you know, you're up and running.
Brilliant. Yeah, it's so true, isn't it? It's just one little piece at a time, and Rome wasn't built in a day. And so often I'm in the business clinic at Leo Fingal and I'm talking to new businesses, and there's that sense of overwhelm, that sense of starting out. But no, it's one step at a time, and Rome wasn't built in a day. And I can see from watching your social media channels in particular, you know, I can see the focus, I can see the plan coming to fruition, and I can see the consistency. And I think that's really what people are looking for, no matter what kind of business you're in. They're looking for that consistency. And once they see it more and more, it becomes more ingrained. And then you become known for that particular line of business or that particular service, and people remember it. So that's really great advice. And just that, as you said as well, at the end of the day, you've done great things. Each and every one of us can look back. We can pick out some achievement, use it to bolster you up, and we'll keep going. We will get through this. And Catherine, I suppose my last question I want to ask you, we are now in, we'll say, the first quarter of 2021. What is next for Catherine Fulvio and Ballynockan Cookery School?
Well, for myself, I am working on a TV series called Catherine Celebrates. So that will be out. There's one coming out on Valentine's, and there's another one on Easter, and one next Christmas. And that's just really me expressing my favourite dishes around these celebrations. And it's a joy to work on. And we're very much focusing on local, not just local foods, but also local craftspeople. For example, for Valentine's, we're filming in a local potter's, where, because you put the food on a plate.
Fabulous.
So the plate is the story. You know, so we've got other stories built in there. So that's one angle. And then I really want to focus on developing more online courses. So I have mentioned that the online cookery school is, we said about virtual cook-alongs. But I also have, and this is the main part of the online cookery school, they're downloadable courses, actually.
Oh,
so
fabulous.
Anybody can learn anytime, any place, anywhere.
Yeah.
So all the Ballynockan leading cookery classes that we run are now available as downloadable courses on the CatherineFulvio.com website. And there's also a really great one for transition year students. And that's selling very well because it's a 13-week program, which is great for Gashka, if any of the children are doing Gashka. But it's also a student program, so any student can do it. And I have another one coming on then, a 3-month course for anybody who wants to learn to cook. So I'm really going to focus on growing the online course offering for learning anytime, any place, because that will have longevity, I think, Sharon. And I think that's important, because once the live cook-alongs are done, people have the memories, the recipes and the food.
Yes.
But courses, people can go back and refresh their memories 6 months later because they still have access to it.
And it's accessible to anybody. I was actually saying my daughter is applying for a transition year. She actually did the interview for it this week. And they were asking, is there anything else you would like to see added? I was like, put down Catherine Fulvio's transition year program, because I think it is a great thing. And it is, it's that accessibility, and it's a skill, and it's a lifelong skill. And there's something about cooking and just being mindful and in the moment. And as you said, at least you have something out of it at the end, rather than just, you know, putting in loads of work and then nothing to show for it. So look, it's good on every aspect.
Well, my parents of my TY course students are delighted, because once a week they get a family meal made for them. That is how the course is structured.
Brilliant.
A dish needs to be made. It's a family meal made every week. So the onus is on that TY student to prepare that meal to feed the family. So there's a payback for the parents and their investment.
Absolutely. Well, Catherine, on behalf of every parent listening in, thank you for that. I think I'll be going on to CatherineFulvio.com straight away after we get off this call. But overall, Catherine, thank you so, so much. I think you've given such a lovely insight. It's really a behind the scenes. And as I say, as a household name, we obviously, you cook it away, doing your best, cooking with curiosity, or hashtag cook with curiosity, as I often see come up on your social media feeds. And it's just great to know what goes on behind the business. I think your motivation and your hard work is just inspirational. And I'm hoping, I know that people listening in will really gain a lot of benefit from that, especially in these days that are a bit challenging. And continue to success to you and all at Ballynockan Cookery School. Thank you.
Thank you too, Sharon.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast episode, brought to you by Local Enterprise Office Fingal. For more information and to keep up to date with our services, check out localenterprise.ie/Fingal and sign up to our newsletter.